Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, we have a show for you if you are not handy with a wrench or savvy with a plumber snake. This is the program you've been waiting for. Tommy Drummond and Clint Kershaw join us today. Tommy is a field manager for Mr. Reuter Plumbing in the Capital Region. He specializes in everything from drain lines to well pumps. Clint is the owner of Mr. Reuter Plumbing of the Hudson Valley. He's a licensed master plumber, a licensed septic contractor and collector, and a licensed home improvement contractor. So if you're stuck, backed up, or confused over a... backed up, you see that? A little plumbing humor. Give us a call, 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also comment on the Vox Pop page of our website, wamc.org/voxpop. Check in on Facebook, WAMC Radio on Facebook, and there'll be a Vox Pop post there. You can tweet us at WAMC Radio. Just use the hashtag Vox Pop or email voxpop@wamc.org. But again, the phone number is 1-800-348-2551. Clint and Tommy, welcome back to the show, gentlemen.
Thanks for having us.
Nice to have you back. Things are going well. It's been a while. I think you had some of your colleagues were on the last time we did this show.
Yeah, I was here with Ian last time, and it was fun.
Yep.
All right. Well,
we got through the cold weather, and it went a little too long. It was wearing us out.
Well, you know, there's a winter weather advisory in parts of our region tonight. I'm not kidding. I've had enough of this. All right. Well, the phone lines are loaded. Let's go right to the phones. Chris in Kingston. Chris, you're on.
Oh, hi. I recently installed a hot water heater, and what I was wondering is, if I don't put a check valve on the incoming line, am I losing a lot of heat as the pressure goes back against the city line, and therefore the hot water heater comes on more often, or is that negligible?
Negligible.
It is, okay, because you never see the check valve, you know, on most of the hot water heaters that I've put in, so, you know, I was wondering if that made a difference, but it's not, then great.
I would recommend installing an expansion tank, though, on the cold side, on the inlet side of the water heater. The expansion tank will absorb any excess pressure and prevent it from cracking the glass in the tank.
Okay, even without a check valve, it's not safe if it's pushing up against the city main?
It's safe, but the city's going to give you too much pressure, and it's just going to build pressure. If you empty that tank and you heat it back up again, the water expands quite a bit, and that's what will strain the lining on the water heater. An expansion tank can solve that and hopefully prolong the life of the water heater.
All right, so for safety reasons, but not energy.
Correct.
Okay.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Chris. Why do the linings of the water heaters have to be glass? Could they make it something maybe a little more with better longevity?
It's expense. It's all money. We can get your water heater that's a stone lining, so it's got a man-made stone lining they spray in, kind of probably like a gunite on a pool,
yeah,
something like that. But it's just a steel tank with a glass lining, and once the glass cracks, it gets to the steel, and then your water heater leaks.
Yep. Okay, let's go to line number two, and Katie in Pittsfield. No, I'm sorry, Kate. Kate, you're on.
Hi. My question's for the Mr. Reuter guy. Is that Clint or Tommy?
Both.
They're both.
Oh, okay. We had a trenchless pipe put in for our sewer system, the trenchless pipe replacement.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering how long that's guaranteed for.
Did they line the pipe or did they burst the pipe?
I don't know the difference. What is it?
Okay.
One is a epoxy filled resin that's in a sleeve that gets blown into the pipe from a basement or a hole out in the front yard. Another one is called pipe bursting, where we actually pull a new pipe through the old pipe.
Ah.
That's it. That's what they did.
Okay.
That high-density polyethylene piping is what they used, and the pipe is good for 50 to 100 years.
Okay, but the where they put the pipe in through, it came in through the window in the basement, and then it went into the other opposite wall for the to go into the sewer line. And the pipe seems to be fine, but there is water pouring into my basement.
Oh, boy.
They didn't reseal the concrete around the pipe, so
correct.
The water has an area to come in now.
Yeah, so how long, I mean, that's something that they should repair, even though it's been, I don't know how many years it's been, but it's been a few years.
It's very hard to keep groundwater out, and the best way to do that is to dig up outside and keep it from coming into the outside, into the foundation from the outside.
But it didn't come into the basement from the outside until this pipe was put in.
Correct. Because they
isn't that something that Mr. Reuter should repair?
Oh, I see. I think this probably would be best handled off the air.
And that is a Mr. It is a different Mr. Reuter, but I certainly can call John and talk to him about that. Hang up, call back. I will give the call taker my phone number.
Okay, that's a great idea. All right, very good. Thanks a lot, Kate. We appreciate the call. Chris in Ballston Spa, you're on. Chris.
Hi. My question is not very technical.
Well, fair enough.
My husband and I have been using coconut oil for our bath, and we've noticed our house is 160 years old, and we've noticed that there's when the washer drains, you can hear little glugs, or in the sink you can hear little noises, and the pipes don't seem to be as flowing as much as they used to. And I recently heard that coconut oil, if it hits pipes and it's not 72 degrees, will start to coat the lining of the pipes.
Oh, interesting.
That is correct.
Oh, it's not interesting. I'm a little worried. We're wondering what we could do to maybe get rid of that oil.
The best thing to do in that situation is actually to get what's called a jetting or a hydro scrub. It's like high-pressure water. It would actually blast away all the debris in the pipes out of the pipes. Unfortunately, using a typical snake cable machine, it won't actually get rid of the residue on there. So, yeah, the best thing to do is to call a professional and have them do a jetting or a hydro scrub of the line.
And that will clear up the problem?
Typically.
There are also products, bacteria products. We don't want a chemical product.
So you don't want something that will burn?
Correct, because it just liquefies the oil and moves it down the line and just sits there.
Yeah.
We have bacterial products that will actually digest the grease, digest the oil, and it goes away.
Okay, is that something you can get over the counter?
No, you can't.
What a jip.
Thank you for asking. That was my
Well, thanks, Chris. Good luck.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Bye now. You know, I just think about it. Coconut oil baths, that's pretty decadent. Good living. Let's go to Mark in Salem. Mark, you're on.
First, I wanted to mention that the stone line tanks, I used to install a SEPCO Vaughn Corporation tanks for solar collecting systems, and they have a lifetime warranty.
Vaughn's a great tank.
I love those tanks.
Yeah. They're very heavy. I had one. Yes. I was lowering it down with a come-along, and the cable broke. And it dropped 8 feet onto the concrete floor, and it didn't damage it at all.
Wow.
I've removed many 120-gallon ones before. Yeah, they're not fun.
No, they're not fun. My question is, I have a 200-plus-year-old house, and I put a bathroom in, and I'm thinking about installing a bathroom in the basement, which is partially dirt floor. The drainage line comes 3-inch down, right to the and slightly below the floor level, and then a 4-inch line with a clean out on the end that goes out to the septic tank. And I was with a downstairs basement bathroom, I was wondering if I could take that clean out thing out, screw in another pipe, and then add a toilet to it. But I'm concerned that that toilet being at the same level as the line going out to the septic tank, how much of a drop should I have? I mean, I can elevate the toilet like a throne up maybe 18 inches if I have to. Or can I go straight into that line and not worry about it?
All right. That's a good question.
You can go straight in. You need an eighth of an inch per foot minimum pitch.
Right.
And you can go, how far away from the line is the toilet going to be from the main line?
It'll be right to it.
A couple feet.
Not even.
Okay, that's fine. Then you
it'll be right next to the line that drops down just in front of it. So it'll be probably 6 or 8 inches away from the pipe as it goes out.
No, just pipe it in. You'll be fine.
Well, and it's of course a separate vent and all that kind of thing. So I can move the drain. I can move the clean out to the inward side from the toilet, and then and put it on that.
Yeah, don't lose the clean out because then.
Oh, I know. It's like a 40-foot run to the septic tank, and I don't want to lose that clean out.
Yeah.
But I don't have to elevate it at all. I would think that if I flush the toilet upstairs, that it might cause a problem with pushing the water up in the basement.
If everything's working properly, it shouldn't.
It shouldn't?
No.
Okay. Well, that's what I thought originally, and you just confirmed it. Thank you.
All right. Have a great day.
Thanks a lot, Mark. We appreciate the call. All right. Tell me why, again, you need to vent in every installation of that kind.
So if you have a straw and you put it in a glass and you put your finger on the top and you take the straw out, the water stays in the straw. If you take your finger off, the water comes out of the straw.
Oh, yeah.
It's the same in a house. The water has to have air behind
pressure,
it because it'll pull a vacuum.
I gotcha.
And it won't leave the house.
The things you learn here on Vox Pop. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. We're joined today by Tommy Drummond and Clint Kershaw. We will answer your plumbing questions as best they can. We'll take a break. 1-800-348-2551 is the number. We'll be back.
Support comes from Redbud Development, building custom-designed landscape spaces that blend with the interior, pools, patios, outdoor kitchens, screen rooms, and more. RedbudDevelopment.com. Albany Realty Group, a local woman-owned real estate company since 2003, educating and counseling sellers and buyers throughout the real estate transaction. AlbanyRealtyGroup.com. Tang Teaching Museum and Art Gallery at Skidmore College, providing exhibits, public events, and educational programs for audiences of all ages for the Capital District and beyond. Skidmore.edu/Tang. And East Heaven Hot Tubs and Paradise Spa, Northampton, Massachusetts. Offering private hot tub room rentals with indoor or outdoor rooftop tubs, massage for couples and individuals. EastHeaven.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. It's plumbing today. We're joined by Tommy Drummond and Clint Kershaw of Mr. Reuter Plumbing. And boy, the phone lines get loaded on this program. I think it's because everybody wants to save the hourly on plumbing. And so, you know,
thanks, right?
You go into one of these jobs and you think you could do it yourself. I've been there. And then you end up calling a plumber anyway. But still, it's fun to try to figure it out. Let's go to Helen in New Lebanon. Helen, you're up.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a situation where I was trying to replace faucets on a clawfoot tub that we put in new 20 years ago. And the faucets seem to have corroded, and also the lines that come up from the downstairs pipes, also where they attach, apparently are. Now, when looking to try to find a replacement for these faucets, it's a shower, tub shower. So there's a riser that goes up to the shower head, and then there's the ring that you hold the shower curtain on. And it seems impossible to just get the faucet, and I have to get the whole unit with the risers and ring when I already have a riser and ring. And it seems ridiculous to just have to replace the whole thing when I only need the faucets. Do you know of any place that one can find these things?
You could, take a picture of it and go to a supply house, a plumbing supply house.
Oh, okay.
And ask, here's what I have and here's what I need. But I'm pretty sure you're going to get the same answer.
Wow. They said, I was told that, well, it comes in a kit from China and they don't want to break it up and sell the parts.
Exactly.
Right. It comes in a kit and it's cheaper to... You know, everybody to buy the kit and then it is to do all different parts.
No, we have to throw away perfectly good pipes.
Isn't that exasperating? Come
terrible.
On. You got to get a better answer than that. Come on. Sorry, Helen.
Oh, okay. Well,
good luck.
Thanks. Bye.
Appreciate the call. Let's go to Eric in Coxsackie. Eric, you're on.
Hey, guys. Thanks. I got a newly installed dishwasher that I have water backing up into. I assumed the issue was that the hose wasn't looped and back, but when the installing plumber came, he took a look at my configuration, and he blames the S-trap I have below where the hose from the dishwasher joins my drain. It's a dual sink with a garbage disposal on the left and standard drain on the right. So out of the garbage disposal, I have a P-trap, then I have an S-trap. The hose from the washing machine joins the S-trap above it. What do you guys think?
Why isn't the dishwasher should be draining into your garbage disposal?
Oh, really?
There should be a tap on your garbage disposal where you knock out the plug, and the dishwasher hose should the dishwasher should drain into the garbage disposal.
Interesting. So I don't have to reconfigure my S-trap. I just need to drain it into the garbage disposal.
You sure you have an S-trap?
Yeah. I'm sure because my dad and I put it in. Maybe we did the wrong thing.
What's so funny about an S-trap?
They're not legal. They're just not that.
Well, maybe they did it a long time ago. They're grandfathered in, right, Eric?
Sure, we'll say that.
Yeah, that's a good
but,
point.
But this is fairly new PVC piping. What's wrong with an S-trap?
I would just drain your dishwasher into your garbage disposal, and you should be fine.
Beautiful. Love the solution. Just quickly, though, what is the problem with an S-trap?
Good question, Eric. I was going to do that myself.
Technically speaking, by code, they say that an S-trap can actually be siphoned out as the water is running, so then sewer gas can then go through the trap itself.
Ah.
Well, that's an issue. Should I just turn that into a T?
Well, it should be a P-trap, then it would be a T.
What is this, Sesame Street? We got brought to you by the letter S, T, P. What's going on?
I have the P-trap off the garbage disposal. Could I just T that then into the drain that goes down?
Here's what I would say. If it isn't broken, don't fix it. Move the dishwasher to the right place and see how it goes.
Okay, no worries then about the S-trap and sewer gas?
No, don't worry about it.
Thank you very much.
You'll know if it's a problem.
Thanks, Eric.
I guess I will.
Appreciate the call. All right, over to Eric in Burt Hills now. Eric, you're on.
Yes, my question is, I had my drain for the washing machine moved down in the basement, and they installed a plug with an adapter for the utility sink that the washing machine goes into, which has a pump. Now when that pump kicks off to drain the utility sink, all the sinks in the house gurgle. And I'm
wondering, is that a problem, or is that just an annoyance?
It's both.
Is it? Okay.
It's a problem, and it's an annoyance.
It's loud. I mean, it's really odd. And they said that the vent is fine. I'm just curious, is the pump too strong? Or, you know, what is possibly going on here?
I would say somebody's going to have to look at it. It could be how the drain's installed. It could be how the vent's installed. Is the piping just loose and rattling? Have they not fastened it to the wall?
What it is, everything is secure. What it is where they moved it to. They cut the end of the PVC off that had a cap on it. They put an adapter on there, and the drain line from the pump hooks right up to that adapter. So that is the very first thing on the end of that PVC pipe that goes to the main drain.
And it's hard piped? It's like they took...
It is hard piped, yep.
Okay. Where's the vent?
The vent is about 5 feet away where it makes a 90 to... go down to the main line where the kitchen sink hooks to.
And is the pump chamber vented?
No.
Well, there's...
the pump is built right into the bottom of the utility sink. It's all one unit.
Still got to be vented. No?
Uh-huh.
It's one of those self-contained units in the bottom of the sink, probably.
Right. Yeah, it's all one piece. It came out of the box and they...
The best thing to do would be to have someone go out there and just take a look at everything, because over the phone we can't really get a good visual on what's going on and how everything's plumbed in there.
Okay.
But it shouldn't be doing that. The answer to your question is it shouldn't be doing that.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Eric. We appreciate it. Boy, some tough questions today. This is not easy for you. You're sweating. It's impressive.
Tommy's sweating. I'm not sweating.
Let's go to Jim in Stone Ridge. Jim, you're on.
Thanks. I have a American standard wall-mounted toilet. That is to say, the drain goes out the back, out the wall, with a flush-mate system, which I put in about a year and a half ago, actually, in an entirely new bathroom, where there was no bathroom before. And it's the flush-mate is underperforming ever since it's been installed. Anything other than liquid going into it, it takes two and usually three flushes to get it clear. I consulted with the FlushMate technical support people, who gave me advice to adjust it, sent me out a new piston for it, and eventually sent me a whole new flushmate system, which I installed, and then it continues to be underperforming as described. Any suggestions about what to do next?
Venting issue.
Okay, well, it's got an air admittance valve that's right next to it.
So air admittance valves are problematic.
Why?
They frequently don't work. They break. It's a mechanical thing versus a natural venting. There's nothing to break or move or that you have to fix or a spring or anything like that. I would take the air admittance valve off and see how it works. If you get bad odors in the house, you'll have to put it back on. But just take it off for a couple of days and see how it works and see if that's your problem.
Okay. Well, that's certainly a new idea, and we'll give it a shot.
All right. Good luck.
Thanks, Jim.
Thanks very much.
Appreciate the call. The number to call here is 1-800-348-2551. We're joined by Clint Kershaw and Tommy Drummond of Mr. Rooter this afternoon. Let's go to Chet in Leverett, Mass. Chet, you're on.
Hi. How are you doing? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure thing.
Within the last year or so, I had a new GE 56-gallon hot water tank put in, and ever since it's been installed, it makes loud barking, almost explosive sounds as we first start to draw water out of it.
Oh, boy.
And I'm wondering, is that normal? What could that be, and is it damaging the tank?
Electric? Gas?
Yes.
Electric?
Yes.
Barking like a dog?
Well, it's sort of a... very loud, explosive, kind of almost violent sound.
No,
it seems like it must be not really good for the tank, I would think.
Have you ever, is it shaking the tank? Have you ever, felt it when it does it?
No, I haven't been right there when it's happened.
Yeah.
Not anything that you normally run into, huh?
Frequently, those kind of issues are air in the, it's air in the water. So you have air in the water. When it sits in the tank, it rises to the top. When you open your faucet, you get a burst of air and water in the beginning. Frequently, that's what that is.
Uh-huh.
Not much you can do about it. I don't know why your new water heater would do it when your old one didn't.
Yeah.
Is it a problem, though? Should he be concerned about the tank?
Well, it's probably not going to hurt anything, but it's really sort of disturbing when you turn it on. It really comes at you.
Yeah.
You know, because if you have kids, it's, you know, it can be.
How would you get the water out of the air out of the water?
I don't know.
Tommy, you haven't said anything in this show. Come on.
I've been talking a little bit. It's one of those things where without seeing it, it's hard to get a good idea of what's going on.
I'm sure we could figure it out. You could put a piece of pipe in that would collect the air. You could put an air vent in. There are, you know, several ways that you could do it if that is the problem. But that's the only thing that I could think would be making that kind of a noise in a water heater, because there's nothing. It's just a tank. There's nothing in there, you know?
Yeah.
You hope.
Yeah, nothing but water.
Yeah. Well, Chet, good luck with that. Next time these guys are on, let us know how you did.
All right. Thanks very much.
Appreciate it. 1-800-348-2551. Let's go over to David in Saratoga. David, you're on.
Hey, how are you doing?
Good.
I have a hot water tank. It's about 5 years old, and I'm currently getting my kitchen remodeled, and we just pulled out the old sinks. Anyway, concurrently, I've started to have an issue with my hot water heater where I'm getting sort of bursts of bubbly, foamy water coming out of the tank, and I'm also losing temperature, so I'm not getting the same quality of hot water that I used to get. I'm wondering if it has anything to do with the new supply lines that were put in for the kitchen.
I can't see how it would.
It shouldn't.
It's really got to be a whole separate problem.
So you think that's possibly just time for a new tank?
Well, again, it sounds like air. Some air is getting into the system somewhere, which would be coming from your well or from the, you know, the town. But
it could be coming from the well.
Yeah, I'm not sure replacing the water heater is going to, you know, solve that problem. But you said you're also running out of hot water. Is it gas or electric?
It's electric.
Yeah, so maybe you need a bottom element.
Okay, possible bottom element.
Yeah.
So on the cold water supply line, I would be having air there as well. I'm not having any of the same issues with cold water. Is that just because it hasn't heated up and expanded? Or
correct, and it hasn't sat in the tank.
Okay.
There was no place for the air to collect.
Gotcha.
And then the hot water, you know, the tank that takes the hot water off the top of the tank, because that's where the hot water is. So the air floats to the top, the hot water's on the top, you open a faucet, you get that first.
Okay.
David, thanks a lot for the call. Tim in Boston Spa. Tim, you're on.
Yes, I have a root problem right down your alley. I had a mulberry tree planted in proximity of my leach field.
Mm-hmm.
And I realized too late that that's a real no-no. And mulberry roots take forever to rot. But I have, you know, I have my septic tank, which, oh, I also have a very high water table, so that's a further issue. But everything has gotten worse because of this mulberry tree. The pipe comes out from the septic tank to a rectangular junction box. I found a schematic of the system that was put in. Is it possible that if I dig up that junction box, it'll have a removable cover, and then I can call you guys up to roto-root my drain pipes?
Yes. That's called a distribution box, and there should be a concrete lid on top of it that we can take off and then see all the leach field lines leaving it. And then once we could do that, you can get a camera in there and actually see the condition of the field lines themselves. And then any professional can give you options on how to proceed from there, whether it be routing it out, whether it be jetting it out, or replacing all the lines.
Well, I bet it's going to have to be rooted out. And I'm going to guess that they are loaded with roots.
Yeah, both the tree likes your septic system, and the septic system likes the tree. They're actually both, you know, helping each other out to a point, and then they work against each other.
But when they root the stuff, can they then extract it, or does it have to be flushed through?
Some will come back, some will stay.
Yeah, or stick a hose down and blast it.
Well, yeah, you could use a jetter, a hydro scrub, or a high-pressure jetter, and that would wash it back.
Well, I think I'm going to have to address this year.
Oh, boy.
Open your D-Box and see what's going on. It may not be bad at all.
Thank you.
Yep. Tim, thanks a lot for the call. The number to call here, 1-800-348-2551. It is Vox Pop. We talk plumbing every once in a while, and Tommy Drummond and Clint Kershaw from Mr. Rooter Plumbing are here. And let's go to Norman in Montague, New Jersey. Norman, you're on.
Yeah, hi. I have a pump in the cellar, and it comes off and on really quickly. It seems like it doesn't really have a lot of water to push through the line. And so what we've been doing is we drain the tank down and put a hand pump on a valve on there, and we pump air into the tank. And then the pump comes off and on much more slowly, and it takes longer to fill the thing up, and then it runs longer before it has to come on. The thing I'm concerned with is, with the pump going off and on all the time, that the motor is going to burn out, and it's one of those deep line well pump goes down into deep, the well way down in the ground.
What color is the tank?
Blue.
Blue. You need to replace the tank.
That's what I thought.
Yep, that's it. With short cycling pump, it's very bad for the pump. If you have a submersible pump and you have a control box on your wall and you hear it clicking, you need to replace the water tank. Probably, you know, 50 to 60% of every well pump we replace, we have to replace the water tank because it's the water tank that went bad first.
Wow.
And that made the pump fail.
Okay.
And
a
tank is much less expensive than a pump.
Yes, I know that, because we had to have the pump replaced a couple of years ago for the same reason. We put a larger pump motor on down there.
And the bigger the tank you can afford, the better it is, because the pump will cycle on and off less often.
Okay, this is a 40-gallon tank. It's kind of small, I think.
Yep, if you can go bigger, go bigger.
Okay, one other question. We have a house up in Vermont, and this year it seems like the well froze, and we lost the prime. And so I've been trying to get the prime to draw water up out of the well, and so I took out the pressure gauge and I put water into that until it starts to come out. And then I turn the pump on, and it draws water and builds pressure into the line. And so then I relieve the pressure with there's a valve on the bottom of the tank that relieves the pressure, and I'm hoping it's going to draw the water in, but then it does nothing. So what does that mean? How can I prime this thing?
It's difficult for me to diagnose from here. You'd need some vacuum gauges and pressure gauges, but it sounds like you may just have an air leak somewhere between the pump and the well. The pump could be bad if you froze it and you cracked the impeller or you cracked the housing.
Oh, no. It's not the pump. This is a hand dug well, and it's just a foot valve on the bottom of at the end of the line in the well.
Okay. Then you're losing the water somewhere, so there's a broken pipe somewhere.
Yeah, when the pipe froze, it could have burst one of the seams and just get air in from there.
Do you mean the plastic?
Yes.
Yes.
The PVC pipe would break?
Oh, yeah.
Especially the fittings where they connect or the elbows, that's where they're more likely to come apart.
Oh, good. Oh, not good.
Thanks, Norman.
Okay. All right, appreciate it. Thank you.
Appreciate the call. So have you guys been dealing with a lot of mayhem and destruction based on the very cold weather we have had?
We have. We really had a lot of frozen pipes this year, and it went on and on and on.
Yeah.
And one thing that we do that a lot of people don't do is we will thaw sewer mains.
Ah.
So if your sewer main clogs, then it's full of water, then they freeze because they're not deep enough.
Yeah.
They're not meant to be. And so we'll clear those, and we're able to thaw the ice out of those. So we've been very busy. If you have a water line that's not deep, don't shovel the snow off.
Oh, that's a great idea. All right, we'll take a break here. 1-800-348-2551, because the snow is a natural insulation. Makes sense. We'll be back.
Comes from the Arkell Museum at Canajoharie, presenting The Artist Revealed, artist portraits and self-portraits, works by Milton Avery, Chuck Close, Leonard Baskin, Edward Steichen, Norman Rockwell, and more. ArkellMuseum.org. The Center for Extended Care on University Drive in Amherst, a family-owned and operated nursing center offering rehab, long-term care, and Alzheimer's specialty care. CECAA.com. Edward Garbasek, certified financial planner serving all of Western Massachusetts, providing customized financial retirement strategies for those approaching or in retirement. Ed@havocandwealthstrategies.com. And the Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, announcing their new website with more information about membership, grants, and loans. So our past has a future. PreserveNYS.org.
Welcome back to Vox Pop on WAMC. Oh, the fun we have. 1-800-348-2551 is the telephone number. And back to the phones we go. Adam in Stockbridge. Adam, you're on.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Two questions that are related. Air intake valve that you guys had mentioned, can that be put on an existing sink that is not vented? I had a bathroom put in an old house that I live in, and it's not hooked up to the venting that we have now. Is the air intake valve in place of a vent?
Yes.
And it's okay, it's sufficient, but it's not as good as?
Correct, because it's mechanical. And I'm not familiar with Massachusetts code, so I don't know if it's also legal.
No.
But that's between you and your house.
Okay.
But they work fine. They're great. They're put in all over the place. But it is a mechanical device. It is going to fail.
Okay. And in relation to that, over the winter, all the plumbing in the house, and this has never happened, started to make a lot of noise. When one bathroom was used, another bathroom would react, especially toilets. The first floor toilet would explode when you flush the second floor toilet.
Yikes.
And it would, you know, almost pretty much hit the underside of the toilet cover.
Wow.
Must have been fun if you were sitting there.
Right. It became a bidet if you were sitting on the thing.
All right.
At first I thought, well, my vent must be plugged up, because I do have a vent to that bathroom, but it seems like it's kind of unlikely. It's a small, you know, the pipe is not big coming out of the roof. So I thought it could be that the septic needed to be cleaned out. Would the septic system affect something like that, or would it more likely be a vent issue?
More than likely a septic system. If the water has nowhere to go, it's going to start filling up your pipe and go to the lowest point possible, which is more than likely your downstairs toilet.
Mm.
Okay. Okay. It also sort of, you can hear the noise in the on the third floor half bath. It makes a gurgle, but
is it still doing it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's subtle, but it does it. I mean.
Oh, it's less now.
I thought that it was maybe a freezing that was going on with the sewer coming out of the house, going to the septic tank, and then there's a pump station beyond that, and it's quite involved.
How long ago did you have your septic tank pumped?
I actually had it pumped this morning, and then I happened to turn on the radio and I heard you guys, and I thought, well, you know what? I'll double up on this.
So is it doing it now?
Well, I don't know, because I'm not there.
All right. Well, next time we're on, yeah. Call us back, let me know.
Okay. All right. But most likely, septic is a good way to start.
Yep.
Exactly.
Okay.
Appreciate the call. Yep. Have a good one. Let's go over to Robin in Pattersonville. Robin, you're on.
Okay. Hey, I installed two American Standard dual flush toilets, and they're identical in every way except that one's a round bowl with no insulation in the tank, and the other is an elongated bowl with insulation in the tank. The round bowl works perfectly. The full flush on the elongated bowl works perfectly, but the partial flow does not empty the bowl. And both toilets are on the same discharge line. They're 3 feet apart on opposite sides of a wall, with the drain pipe, the vent pipe for the roof is approximately midway between the two toilets. The elongated toilet's on the upstream side of the drain pipe or the vent pipe. I've checked for blockage in the drain line with a mirror, and I found it to be clear. I replaced the flush valve twice with new valves from the factory. I tried adjusting the partial valve volume to give it more flow, and I've even replaced the whole toilet with a new one from the manufacturer. Nothing's helped.
Oh, boy.
I mean, the only thing that I can do to make the partial flush empty the bowl is to hold the flush valve down and put a lot of water in the bowl, but, that defeats the purpose of having a partial flush. So is there anything you can tell me that I could do to fix this?
It's just the way it is.
Oh, really?
Sorry.
It's working properly?
That's it. He's done everything he possibly can. It's the way it is. There's nothing else you can do except replace it with a different style toilet. But, that's the way that toilet's going to work for you.
So the dual flush...
Does that make sense?
Go ahead.
There are 3 feet apart and one works and the other one doesn't work?
I thought they both, the short flush... I thought the partial flush didn't work on either.
No. On the one that's on the downstream side of the roof vent, it works perfectly.
The round both one. The elongated one, it doesn't work. So the elongated...
The round bowl... The elongated bowl works perfectly. The round bowl one only works on the full flush.
Okay. But you've been to American Standard about this, right?
Correct. They're giving me new valves and a whole new toilet, and I don't understand why one works and one doesn't work.
We were just talking about this before. Typically, those valves are real finicky, and that's the first place to start. But if you've done that already, it's kind of hard where to go from there.
I mean, we could come pull the toilet and put a camera down the line and, check all of that just to rule it out. But that's, that would be what I would do next.
Yeah, but I mean, you got to believe that the line is clean from the toilet that works all the way down.
I would agree.
And the other toilet's only, like I say, 3 feet away. And I can see at least the entrance to the, I've put a mirror down and a light down to see where it goes into the drain pipe, and it's clear there, so it'd have to be a blockage between, over the 18 inches or so that's between the toilet and the vent or something. I mean,
we agree. Okay. We're with you.
Robin, sorry, there could not be more help. So toilets 3 feet apart? Is that common to have toilets that are so close together?
We'd have a bathroom that's back-to-back.
Oh, yeah.
The toilets only be a foot apart.
Okay, so a dual flush is not actually two bowls.
No.
I see.
One's half the water and one's all the water.
I see. Okay. So I don't even want to. All right. Let's go to Scott in Northampton, Mass. Scott, you're there. Go.
Yes.
Hello. Yeah, you're on.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
I'm a plumbing instructor in Northampton, and I heard the comment about the shelf, the pump on the bottom of the laundry tray.
Yeah.
And we're talking about not having a vent. The Massachusetts code book, we can tie these kinds of pumps directly into a drain line and put a check valve at the bottom of the pump So a direct connection, not an air break or air gap, and a direct connection with a 3/4-inch check valve, and that water, that standard water, will work as the trap and no longer require a vent. So that is legal in Mass.
Okay.
And then I heard a couple other things while I was listening along. The air admittance valve and I forget what the automatic vent fitting that they have, that they're having problems with these springs, they're not allowed in Massachusetts.
That's what I thought.
For a special, special permission from the board.
Right.
I was actually just reading those paragraphs today.
Yeah. That's what I didn't think they were let in New York. They are. They've sort of opened that all up for us in New York, which we, you know, it's, I guess it's great for me as plumber because we have to fix them and replace them. But in Massachusetts, they don't allow them at all.
Okay. Hey,
it's a very corrosive gas, and that gas will eat away the spring eventually. And like you said, it's going to fail.
Yep.
It probably fails on Thanksgiving with a house full of people, right?
Yeah, right.
Thanks, Scott. I appreciate it.
Have a good one.
Yeah, thanks, Scott. We appreciate the call very much. All right, here's one gentleman from email. This is from Anonymous. I'm on a domestic well. I'm getting silt in my toilet tanks, as in the washer supply screen. Suggestions to get rid of the silt. That's from Anonymous.
A whole house filter. As the water comes in, before it goes anywhere else, it should be hitting a filter of some sort to actually catch all the particulates before it enters the whole house.
Okay.
With a filter element down to 5 microns.
All right, fair enough. Over to the phones again. Gina in Troy. Gina, you're on.
Hello. I've got you on speakerphone. Is that all right?
I would prefer if you did not do that, just for a fidelity.
Okay, I changed.
Lovely.
All right, this is also a question about toilets. I have to buy a new toilet, and I know there are two kinds. One I know is called a flapper, where it's hinged and it goes, this round thing goes up and down to let the water in and out of the tank. And the other, I'm calling it a plunger. I don't know if that's the right name, but it's like a round column, and it comes down. So I have to buy a toilet, and I just want to know if one is preferable to the other.
Okay.
They both work exactly the same.
They all work. It's whatever you, which one you like the best, whichever one looks the best and fits your budget the best.
Oh, so there's no, because I have a toilet that I bought that's a cheap toilet, and it has a flapper, and it doesn't work, whereas the one I have upstairs is the more the plunger type, and that's been a good one. It was a more expensive toilet. But in your opinion, it's just a matter of choice.
I would buy the one with the plunger if that's what works best for you.
Okay, then.
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
Gina, thanks a lot. Over to Matt in Vermont. Matt, where are you in Vermont?
Up in Stratton.
Well, nice to have you on. You are on the air.
Good. It's a ski house where I come up on the weekends, and bought it, renovated it. Actually had some guys doing the renovations for me, and a plumber was part of that crew. So I had an idea of taking my washer and dryer and moving it to a different section, small house, which would require me to drain that washer and dryer stackable into a sump pit style of assembly where I have a pump and a bucket, and it pumps it up through the wall up into over where my drain is. So since I've done that whole assembly, I wasn't there while he plumbed it, but since I've done that, when I come back up on, let's say, Fridays for the weekend, and I go to turn my water on and stuff in the house, when I first turn that water on, the whole place downstairs smells like sewer gas.
Oh, boy.
What I'm thinking is, if there's no check valve on the line, any sewer gas, once the line is empty, can actually go from the pipe it's being plumbed into right out through the pump.
Or through the washing machine.
Yeah.
Or if the line that drains the washing machine into the pump is not trapped. I don't know how he piped it. But
all right. I can explain that real quick if you like. It goes down from the actual washing machine down through the wall, through a pipe, then down into the pit, and then the exit pipe from the pit up into the other thing does have a check valve on it, and it's a flapper style where, you know, almost like a fern coupling style where they have clamps holding it to the pipe.
Yep. Is there a trap on the washing machine drain down to the pit?
That's the question. I don't know. So
okay.
I wondered about that. Should there be one there?
Yes.
Is this pump only for the washing machine?
Only for the washing machine.
Sewer gas is coming from somewhere else. It's not coming out of that pump.
Okay.
Because the pump's not going to have it's not going to have any sewer gas because there's no sewage going into it. There's no black water.
Okay.
Yeah, I just didn't know if maybe it's coming back from. Remember, now he tapped into an existing drain line with this line.
I'm going to have to say tough to tell. Need to see it.
Okay.
Okay.
Matt, thanks a lot.
Sorry, man.
We appreciate it. Let's go to Gregory in Tombstone. What is that?
Kingston.
Oh, Kingston. Says Tombstone. All right.
It's the same thing, isn't it?
Either way, you're on, man. Go.
Hey, thanks, Ray. My main drain has a clean out in it, so I can see out the main drain about 8 feet, and then it makes a right-hand turn. It makes a 90, and then another maybe 20 feet to the septic tank. Along that 20-foot stretch, it's notoriously freezing in the winter. What can I do?
So you can, is it under lawn? I mean, is the snow removed from this top over this pipe?
The snow's removed now. But no, it's under a stone patio.
That's why.
Okay. So you want to leave the snow on it. The other thing you can do, there are heat tapes that you can put inside the sewer line. You could also dig up the sewer line. It's obviously not very deep. This is what I would do. I would dig up the sewer line. It's not very deep. I would put a heat tape around the outside of it, and I would insulate it. And then you can put it heat tape with an automatic thermostat valve, and it just turns on when the ground gets cold there, and it'll keep it thawed out.
That's awesome.
Make sure you get heat tape that you can bury. They're not all the same.
Okay.
Thanks, Gregory. We appreciate it. Let's go over to Sean in High Falls. Sean, you're on.
Hey, my question is pretty much the same as the last guy, but I was wondering how do you thaw it out when it is frozen and you don't have a heat tape on it already?
Steam generator. We actually have like a cast iron oven that will emit steam, and we throw a line down the drain line, and that steam will actually melt the ice.
Oh,
I see.
Very clever.
You can't use a cable machine or anything mechanical because it's like a rock.
Yeah. People call me with this problem, and I just tell them I don't know what to tell you. There's nothing you can do.
Call us. We've got four steam generators, and we thaw them out all day long.
I'll be darned. All right. Oh, sorry, Sean. I hit the button. I apologize, my friend.
Hey, Sean was a nice guy.
I'm quick on the trigger. You know, you see Tombstone, you figure you got to draw really quickly. Let's go to Gene in Charleston. You're on.
Hi. My question is about pumping out a septic tank. I have a septic system, and it was built for a family of six or eight or something like that, and I pretty much most of the time live here by myself. But I tried to get a guy to come out. I've tried two different people, not your company, to come out and do the pumping, and they just look at me and they go, I can't find the thing. One of them had a sort of like a magnet
metal,
thing.
A metal detector.
Metal detector.
You're just calling the wrong person. When you call, whoever you call, when you call them, make sure that they can locate the tank. We have our cameras. We can put our camera down the line, and we can locate the head when we find the tank. We have flushable locators, so we can just flush a locator, and then we can go and find that because it ends up in your tank. And once you find it, then, you know, make a map or have them make a map, and then you'll know exactly where it is.
All right.
So I don't know. Do you come out as far as Montgomery County or not?
Yeah.
Yes, we do, actually.
Okay.
Yes, we do.
Okay. So then I'm going to need to get information.
Hang up and call back. They have our phone number.
Let's go to Lou very quickly. Lou, you have about 15 seconds.
The sink drains well, but a few minutes after draining, I hear a gurgling sound down the line somewhere. Is there an obstruction or something?
Sounds like it.
Okay.
Partial obstruction. It's only going to get worse. You want to get it looked at.
All right. Well, that.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks, Lou.
Very quick. That was very quick indeed. All right. So we're just about done. I apologize to Neil in Menands. Neil, we're not going to have time to get you in. Thanks to Clint Kershaw and Tommy Drummond for stopping by today. Thank you all for calling in. We had a new call screener today, Susie Chekai, who did quite well. Nice job. We appreciate
your
help.
Thanks, Susie.
And support comes from the Wild Center, Tupper Lake, New York. Open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 10 to 5, where the wild world of the Adirondacks opens before your eyes. Wildcenter.org. The New York State Bar Association's Lawyer Referral and Information Service, serving the public for over 30 years.
800-342-3661. Manny's TV and Appliances, family-owned since 1977, now offering olive oil from his vineyards in Crete. Available at Atkins, River Valley Market, Randall's, Foster's, and Big Y grocery stores, Manny'sOliveOil.com. And the Henyon Bakery, Amherst, since 1993, offering hearth-baked whole grain breads, pastries, birthday, wedding, and special occasion cakes, as well as gluten-free offerings, HenyonBakery.com. Thanks again for listening today and for calling in. Thanks to Tommy Drummond and Clint Kershaw of Mr. Rooter Plumbing. Thanks to Zach Malloy, who handles all the plumbing at the Master Control. Well done. There were no backups today. You did a good job over there. Thanks to our producer, Jessica Blaustein Marshall. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, by golly, is a Food Friday. Stay tuned now for a news update.